Time to talk a little Red Sox on this off day, and to do that, we're joined by our friend Sean McAdam. Sean, good afternoon.
Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Now, we know 19 games in 19 days, that might be tough on the players. How about on the writers?
Just brutal. I am enjoying my first day off in 2.5 weeks, although I may not be doing it under the luxurious conditions that many of the players are, so...
No doubt about that.
It's good to get a little break. That's how I feel. I'm sure they would echo my sentiments.
So what do we know about this team after this stretch of 19 games in as many days?
Well, we know that the offense is yesterday excluded, performing at a better rate than I think a lot of us expected. I at the start of the season, I felt better about the pitching staff than I did about the offensive capability of this team. And yet over the last 2.5+ weeks, those 19 days you refer to, the offense has actually been very good to the point where the Red Sox are third in baseball in runs scored. On the other hand, there are some major issues with the rotation and just inconsistent performances almost from top to bottom. Not a great start yesterday by Tanner Houck, though not disastrous. 3 earned runs in 5 innings is usually something you can overcome and even win games with. But the rest of the rotation has been very spotty. Chris Sale, 1 great one and 4 or 5 that have been pretty rough. Corey Kluber with a great one the other night, but that followed 4 that were decidedly subpar. Pavetta's kind of been Pavetta, which is to say, you know, some good, some bad, and a 4.5 ERA. And Whitlock up and down in the starts he's made. And Bayo, erratic enough to warrant an option back to Worcester, though that was more roster-driven than necessarily development-driven. So a surprisingly good offense, a disappointing starting rotation, and at least in terms of the high-leverage guys that you really care about, a bullpen that is much improved, particularly in the back end and what they're able to deliver.
Well, let's talk about some of the positives on offense, and I would say it has to start with the new and improved Alex Verdugo, who certainly took Alex Cora's words to heart at the end of last season and seems to be lighter, faster, and more focused, among other things.
Yeah, I would say invested is probably the key word, and maybe there's I mean that literally, because I think this is a guy who looks at his career, realizes that he's got this season and next before he hits free agency, and maybe have the sense that, you know, he wasn't playing full potential, which is kind of what Alex Cora hinted at the end of last season. And as you noted, it seems to have struck a chord with him, and he came into camp in much better shape, and not just physically, but I think mentally. You see him, you know, running hard out of the box all the time now, getting to balls in right field that maybe he didn't get to a year ago, and you can, of course, trace that to being in better shape physically and better conditioned, but also kind of welcoming and making the most of opportunity as their leadoff hitter. And you know, he's basically been in there against both lefties and righties. Doesn't seem to matter to Cora because Verdugo's getting on base all the time. And you know, that combination of on-base capability and the ability to do damage, to deliver base hits for extra bases, hit the ball out of the ballpark a few times, got a number of doubles, and just, you know, giving a little energy at the top of that lineup, which is something that this lineup needed. It was sort of undefined who was going to be the leadoff guy. They were talking about mixing and matching, but it seems like they have found their full-time guy.
We were wondering what would happen to the offense when Adam Duvall was down, but boy, Jaron Duran also looks like a new man out there.
Yeah, he's had some terrific at-bats and looks like a completely different player. And I think that is rooted in a lot of his mental approach, too. He's talked about, you know, having been up for parts of each of the last two seasons and almost paralyzed in fear that he was going to make a mistake or do something wrong that was going to incur the wrath of his teammates or his manager and coaches. I think he's playing more freely, playing with more belief in himself, but there's also some adjustments too. He's got his hands in a new position, allows him to stay through the ball on a more level swing path so that he's hitting more line drives. And Lamb the other night was the perfect example of that. You don't often see a ball leave the ballpark. I'm not sure what the launch angle on that was, but it had to be pretty low because that seemed like it was never more than 7 or 8 feet off the ground and just cleared everything in center. So, and then defensively, I think he's letting his instincts take over. He's getting better jumps on balls, taking better routes in the outfield. And that ball that he tracked down in left center in the first game of the series in Baltimore was a perfect example of that.
We're talking with Sean McAdam here on Downtown Now. Not everything is rosy on the offense in the infield other than Rafael Devers has certainly got some struggles. Casas able to work a walk, but still with a low on base percentage and no real clear starting second baseman other than putting Christian Arroyo back out there despite his struggles.
Yeah, I mean, Rafael Devers is all set at third base, thank you, and they're in good shape there, having extended him. And other than a little bit of a cold spell over the last two or three games, Devers has been their most consistent and most productive hitter. But everywhere else you look in the infield, there are issues. Yu Chang wasn't hitting a whole lot, although when he did, it was for some sock. I think at one point he had 4 hits and 3 of them had left the yard. But he had provided at least some stability there at that position. Now he's gone for 6 weeks or so. So you've got Hernandez back at a position that he clearly wasn't comfortable at early in the season, committing 6 errors inside the first 10 days of the year. At second base, Arroyo has slumped, and for a while it looked like, okay, you're going to have Chang at short and Hernandez at second. Now Hernandez can't be in two places at once, so you have to have Arroyo back in the lineup, even though he's been horrific offensively from day one. And then the troubles you mentioned with Casas, where, you know, he'll take his walks, but even that, his batting average is so low that even with a team high of 14 or 15 walks, he's still got an OBP of under 300, and he just looks kind of in between at a lot of at-bats, where at times he looks a little passive, and at other times you see him trying a little too hard to do damage and starting to chase a little bit, which is not part of his game. So it's kind of amazing when you look at the production numbers at so many spots in the lineup that they are third in Major League Baseball in runs scored. That speaks to, you know, the performance that has been better than expected from 4 or 5 other spots.
Now, in terms of that starting rotation, there aren't too many places to turn for help. James Paxton hasn't exactly been lighting it up on rehab stints. Where do they go? Do they turn to somebody once again like a Josh Winkowski if they have to make a change?
I would think they would want to keep Winkowski in that bullpen role because he's been so effective there, and I think his stuff plays up in shorter stints. I don't know that they think that his stuff is good enough to go through a lineup 2 or 3 times, but if you're asking him to get 6 outs in a high leverage spot, he's been able to do that. So I don't think they go back to him in the rotation. Crawford was a little different because I think that at the beginning of the year, their idea was to have him stretched out at Worcester and you know, able to provide some depth there. You know, those are the options. There isn't a lot at Worcester, as you noted, when you have Paxton really struggling and with an ERA up of about 8 or 9 at AAA, does not seem like he's ready to come in and save the rotation. I think they have to just hope that Sale figures some stuff out, that Whitlock and Bayo and Houck, who have been inconsistent but at least have had some good outings, are going to be more consistent. And then, you know, you kind of take it one game at a time. It's not like there are all these other options that they can turn to replace them.
As you mentioned, though, the back of the bullpen has been very good. Caleb Ort's outing the other night, notwithstanding. But, boy, Kenley Jansen, we knew how good he was. He's got the great numbers. But until you see him go out there and just absolutely take command in the ninth inning, man, that's just, I think some gray hairs of mine have turned back to brown. He is so dependable.
Well, good for you, Rich. I can tell you that's not happening on top of my head, but we can all hope. You know, when they signed Jansen to 2 years and $32 million, I think a lot of people looked at it and said, you know, that's a lot of money to spend on a guy with as much mileage as Kenley Jansen has, and is that really the best allocation of payroll? Well, I think the first month has said, yes, that was $16 million well spent for this year, because he has provided some stabilization to the back end. And we know that that has largely been absent since things started to go south for Craig Kimball late in the 2018 season. They've tried so many different people out there, from Workman to Barnes and others, and nobody's been able to lock it down. And Jansen has been a revelation. I shouldn't say that for a guy who's closing in on 400 career saves. It's not like this has come out of nowhere. But he did a lot of work in the offseason on his cutter so that there's some extra velocity there. And he has really locked it down there, 6-for-6. You know, these are not heart attack saves. These are nice and easy saves where he comes in and shuts it down 1-2-3. And I think when they get Martin back, which sounds like it's not going to be too far in the future, to have Schreiber, Winkowski, and Martin all to get to and set up for Jansen really offers some promise about the back end of that bullpen.
Cleveland comes to town this weekend. Sean, does Terry Francona need to do anything else to earn himself a spot in Cooperstown?
I don't think so. I mean, it would be nice for him to get that third title. He came so close in 2016 against the Cubs. But I think his legacy is secure. Having one, two here and very nearly done it in Cleveland, and then to get them to the postseason on a number of times, and he's moving up on all the all-time lists for most wins by a manager. His imprint is all over this game for the last 20 years. I know he always gets a nice reception when he comes back, and I'm sure that'll happen again these next 3 days. But I think, you know, and Tito's obviously had his health challenges in recent years, but if he were to walk away tomorrow, I think he's punched his ticket to Cooperstown.
Well, it'll be fun to see him back at Fenway this weekend. Sean, always appreciate you making time for us. Enjoy the rest of your off day, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich.
Sean McAdam talking Red Sox with us here on Downtown.